And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast, live from an undisclosed hotel location in New York City on Sunday night, where I'm very excited, legitimately excited to be joined by Chicago Bulls shooting guard and someone I predicted would make the All-Star team this year, Zach LaVine. How are you?
Oh, man. How are you doing? I'm good. Two Zachs in the same room. Isn't that ironic?
It's just me, you, and Zach Collins.
Yeah, right?
I think, right?
I think there might be... Nope, I think that's it. It's only a couple of us. It's not too many in the NBA.
And all of us spell it correctly. K.
It's not the right way to go.
It's just wrong.
No, it's not. Yes, I don't like it that much either.
Zach Morris is the most famous fictional Zach ever. He goes K. That's the one black spot we have is on Zach Morris's. Actually, he has a lot of black spots on his resume if you watch the show.
I don't know anything about Zach Morris.
You're too young.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know that one, so.
You really don't know who Zach Morris is? Like, no, it's a total...
Yeah, blank, yeah.
It's all over for me.
Yeah,
I'm 42
blank.
Years
Who
old,
is
it's
he?
All over. He was on a show called Saved by the Bell. Are you aware of Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, I know that. I've heard of the show,
AC Slater, Kelly Kapowski.
I've heard of the show.
Okay. Yeah. In the lobby, I saw Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Zach and I were in a great spot right now. One of my favorite things is my film sessions. He said in the theater, like Zach and I in the theater. I was like, are you guys going to movies together? He's like, no, in the film room, in the theater. We're in a great spot. I love it. So it didn't necessarily start out this way.
Yeah.
So, and now it does appear to be in a great spot, but I want to take me back. What do you remember of the first like 72 hours of the Jim Boylan regime?
I mean, I've had a lot of different coaches. So, you know, you see how it has to change from assistant to a head coach, because it happened with Sam Mitchell when Flip passed away, unfortunately. And you can see, you know, assistant coach, you have somebody where it's like your friend or like you can go to them. But then they have to step into the head coaching role. It's different. They have to have different respect. They have to, you know, account for everybody on the team. They have to account for their coaches, their staff, stuff like that. So it was a little bit different. We had to get used to each other, but it's the game, man. You gotta go through those bumps and bruises, I guess.
So there was the famous practice,
yeah,
which turned into a famous not practice.
Yeah.
How close was it to people not going?
It was just we needed, both the coaches and the players needed to get something off their chest. I think it was a good thing that happened. As bad as it looked, it was a good thing that happened because it brought us closer. Everybody was able to tell the truth, you know, speak from the heart if it was good or bad. And it helped, but I don't think it was, I think it was more of like a player coaches meeting. It was going to be a players meeting and then a coaches meeting. And it was just, at the end of the day, we all talked and let our feelings out.
Yeah. So The Athletic had a story about this a couple of days ago about, you know, and you're in there quoted as saying, you know, we had to let our feelings out, and you'd have a quote, saying, you know, we had to establish some ground rules.
Yeah.
So like, what does that mean? What had to be established? Like, what did you personally feel like you had to say at that meeting?
I was upset because we weren't seeing eye to eye with how things were being run, accountability, and even role setting, stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, that transition from a coaching period is tough, and I think we just had to set some ground rules, even for the coaching staff, you know, how it was going to be. We had to set some different things on us, how we were going to be as players toward the coaches, because it's a whole different coaching staff. It's a different, you know, personality that's at the head of the charge. So, you know, I think that was the main thing that had to be, like, set.
What turned it for you and Coach Boylan? Like, if you're in a good place right now, if he's right, like, what turned it? Was there a meeting? Was it him paying your fine when you got ejected? Or I don't even remember what it was.
I've tried to pay his fine.
You tried to pay his fine? Oh, that's what it was.
Fine. Yeah, I tried to pay his fine.
Did you pay it?
They didn't let me. I offered it. What helped our relationship out a lot is I didn't understand how much he cared. He like, generally cares for his players and his... He might do some quirky things here and there, or like the things that you see that he does is different. You know, that's just his way of showing, you know, his competitiveness. But he's very competitive, but he cares about his players, and that's something I can respect.
I remember I was at a game in Toronto in December of last season, probably like 3 weeks after he took over, something like that. And that game, I think Robin Lopez posted up like 25 times.
Yeah.
And Bobby Portis might have posted up like 20 more times.
Yeah.
And I remember a local reporter after the game asked Jim in the scrum, like, is this like really how you want to play? Like, is this the plan? And he like tripled down. He didn't just double it. He was like, this is how we are playing. We are going back to the basics.
Yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon, blah, blah, blah. You're a high flying shooting guard.
Yeah.
Was that frustrating?
It was tough at times because in the beginning he sat me down. He said, "We don't have to learn to crawl before we walk." And I was like, "Man, I can run, you know." So, you know, it was a little tough at first, but we built it up. And that was at Treasures Pier. I think we played against the Pacers and we scored like 82 points or something like that. It felt like I was watching one of them old MJ films where they were like them versus the Pistons and it was like 75-80, you know, final score. But, it was tough at first, but then we started building up and then we started playing faster. We're starting to play faster now. And, you know, I just think he had to gain some of that trust and like break down the ground rules of how we wanted to build up the foundation for how he wanted it.
Here's my challenge to you based on the conversation I just had with Jim Boylan 15 minutes ago, which you witnessed. I'm pointing to Bulls PR czar, czar, but something. Can you explain the Men in Black film clip that he showed you at the beginning of the season? Because he tried to explain it to me, and like after 4 minutes of it, like I still did not understand the point that he was trying to make.
Every once in a while, he'll show clips, and they're funny. He has it's a meaning for him. You know, he'll sit down and show clips. The Men in Black one was a little confusing. It was funny though, with the alien, right?
He told me Will Smith is chasing an alien.
Yeah. I think it was like determination, you know, knowing that he's outmatched, but he can still fight and he's bringing the fight to him or something like that.
So when he introduced it, the alien is called a cephalopod.
What I do like about that, he keeps calling me a cephalopod. So
I couldn't tell if you were the cephalopod or if you were Will Smith. And I think you're both.
I'll take it.
Because he says, I call the most athletic players in the NBA cephalopods. Because I don't remember the movie Men in Black. I saw it, but apparently this is a very fast and athletic alien.
He like jumped up the build, like the entire like New York building.
So it would make sense that you're the cephalopod.
But I'm not a bad guy.
I don't think is a cephalopod just trying to live its life.
They're trying to take over the world. So I guess they're bad people.
But
I'm trying to take over the NBA. So,
but
you know.
Okay, that's fair. You want to be an All Star? Sure. I think you guys can make the playoffs. That's fair. But then he said, "But I want all my players to think that they're Will Smith because Will Smith is a renegade. He has an attitude problem. Yeah. He's overmatched by the cephalopod, but he takes them down anyway." And I was trying to tell my players, you are all Will Smith. Find the best version of you, just like Will Smith's character in Men in Black did. So I was like, so is Zach Will Smith or is Zach the cephalopod? I think you're both.
I'll take it.
Were you inspired by this clip? Did it make you want to have a better season?
I get inspired in my own ways.
So you got over it with Jim. You guys are in a good place now.
Yeah.
Something that people kind of – it's been fast-forwarded through, but I'm always curious. When you were a free agent, the Bulls did not proactively make – well, maybe they made you an offer. The Kings signed you to an offer sheet that the Bulls then matched.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of cases where there's a lingering bitterness by the player in that situation. Like, oh, you didn't value me enough. I had to go out and another team had to value me for you to sign it. You appear totally unbothered by this. How do you get past that?
I just understand the business of basketball. It's not, you know, like I said, I grew up with a sports father. So I understood how it goes. They're letting the market get set. You know, they don't want to battle against each other. If I didn't have, especially that year, I think there was only like two offer sheets that got signed. It was me and somebody else at a lower level, obviously, but it wasn't a big cap market. You know, like last couple of years or in the future. So you just got to understand it. They matched it pretty quickly too. Obviously I knew, okay, they want me. So it was, it's just a part of basketball, man. At the end of the day, I'm here to do my job and they're there to do theirs. And you know, and then you come together and you're a team again. So it's the way it is.
I was going to ask you, what's the first conversation with the front office like that you do remember? Like once, I don't even know if you're in Chicago still at that time.
They called me and they said that, we didn't have to think about it or something like that. Like, you know, you're always going to be family with us. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. You know, let's get this thing going. So I didn't take it personal. It's just how basketball is. I think that's what you have to understand.
By the way, I mentioned Robin Lopez post-ups before. I meant to ask you regarding Robin. What is the Britney Spears thing?
That's one of my favorite teammates, man. I've had a lot of teammates.
Everybody loves Robin.
He's a little bit different, but he is hilarious. So, there was a Britney Spears like picture. He actually got it in Toronto, ironically. I think it might have been that game too
when he and Serge threw down.
Yeah, I think it might have been like one of those games. But he had a picture of Britney Spears in his locker at the United Center, and it just sat there with a pack of Rolos. And okay, nicknamed sure. Rolo, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he got traded, I guess they didn't like get his picture. So I told him, like, hey, I'll bring the picture for you, you know, when we play you guys, because we played him the first preseason game. But I guess he eventually got the picture. So he likes Britney Spears.
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about your customer experience. With millions of live events and a price match guarantee, that's important. SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search for sports, music, comedy, whatever at SeatGeek. It has all the tickets you could want in one place. No more going to 12 different secondary market websites. SeatGeek rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10 and displays every ticket on an interactive seat map. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots, maybe less good. Super easy to use. Every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. That's very important. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the fastest and easiest way to get tickets. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first purchase. All you have to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code LOW, L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast, promo code LOW. Bam, $10 off your first purchase. Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven. So one of the things that I think people don't know about you is you talk to anyone in Minnesota, anyone here, you are a hellacious worker. Everyone is like, this dude just, whatever the outside perception of Zach Levine might be, we cannot keep this guy out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And someone from the Wolves told me, literally, we couldn't keep him out of the gym, so Flip had to disable his fingerprint from working at nighttime in Minnesota, so he couldn't get in the gym at night. Is that true?
So I've got a lot better at what that was true. It was Flip. It was that period where Flip got a little sick, but Sam, I think it was Sam Mitchell that took away my key card ability.
Okay.
Cause after games, you know, you're a rookie, you have ups and downs, you know, same as now, you have ups and downs. So after the games, my way of venting would be like going back to the gym and shooting at night, you know, so I'll go back at like 11, 12 o'clock and I'll shoot 500, 600 shots. I'll go to practice and shoot. So there.
Do you have someone rebounding for you?
A couple times it would be like my father. I had one of my friends living out there with me. But sometimes after the game, I didn't feel like talking to anybody. So I would just go there and shoot. I'm not somebody that's a big party. I don't drink a lot. You know, I go watch movies. You know, I hang out with my girl or something like that. But if I want to get away, like that's like my escape. So I go to the gym and shoot.
And they told you this key card is not going to function after a certain hour.
Yeah, you can't keep coming here at nighttime because I would still have to go up there in the morning. I'll be tired, obviously, in the morning. I'll go there early and try to get some shots up, and I'll go lift or whatever. And, you know, they took it away. But
did you find some alternative, like a local Equinox
or something? This is actually something I've never told anybody. So in Minnesota, me and my dad are best friends, but he's out this world crazy with how he thinks of things. So in Minnesota, it's too cold to go outside and shoot like I used to in California or in Seattle. So we bought a hoop, and I had a two-story apartment in Minnesota. And he put the hoop on like the stairwell, but lowered it to like 6 feet so it'd stay inside, but then put this hoop on the top row of the stairs so it'd be at 10 feet. So I'll go and shoot inside the house in the stairwell, just touch shots, 100, 200 shots in the house. So that's what I would do.
Did you ever break anything?
I might have hit a picture on the wall a couple times when the ball bounced, but
not so bad.
Yes, it's, you know, it's worth it. I could have.
Did you have neighbors that could have complained, or were you situated as such that there were no neighbors?
So it was like a townhouse for that. It was for them. They had like a townhouse, and that's where I used to go do it. I lived in an apartment. That's why. I drove to their house and did it. So I don't think the neighbors really cared.
No neighbors.
They knew who I was. I signed a couple pictures and stuff for them too, so they didn't. They could care less. I think if I was dribbling the ball at 11:30, 12 at night.
I want to go through some Minnesota stories.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner as the Cleveland Browns general manager?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Do you know where this is going?
Draft Day. Does it have to do with, like, with Flip?
Yes.
On The Promise? Yeah.
So, yeah. In the movie Draft Day, this is what I've been told. You can tell me if it's true or not.
Yeah.
I think the character's name is Vontae Mack.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Costner, they have the number one pick in the draft. Now, Kevin Costner in that movie is a terrible GM. He makes like four terrible trades and gets bailed out in the end. But he has a slip of paper that says Vontae Mack no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if, because he wants to pick up number one and it would be a controversial number one pick.
Yeah.
Flip apparently saw this movie. What were you, 13th pick, something like that?
I was 13th.
13th. Yep. And wrote, Zach LaVine no matter what.
Yeah.
You have this piece of paper, I've been told.
Yeah.
You still have it?
It's in my storage unit now with a lot of my Minnesota gear back home in Seattle. Yeah,
so that's amazing.
It's like a little piece of paper like this, like a little
a note paper.
It says Zach LaVine! Exclamation point.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't say no matter what.
Say no matter what, but just Zach LaVine on it with the little thing. And I have a little Flip Saunders award, and I love Flip, man. I love their family, the Saunders family. I've always been, they've been the best. I'm so happy for Ryan getting his opportunity as a head coach right now. But yeah, I have a little, because I did a lot of work in the community of Minnesota when I was there. So I have this Flip Saunders award that they give out every year for community assists almost, and I have the piece of paper with it. So
Ryan told me cool ask thing. About the piece of paper.
Yeah.
He thought it said Zach LaVine no matter what. In my head, I just wanted to say that. Yeah. But Zach LaVine exclamation point is fine.
And it was big time because I didn't know if I was my draft rank. I had 22 pre-draft workouts. It was crazy. So I was slotted from 7th to second round. So I had to work out for every team in between. So I didn't know where I was going to go. I knew I was in the green room, but I could have went anywhere. So it was big.
Which, as you have said subsequently, is your reaction to being picked by the Minnesota Timberwolves, instantly famous, was shock. It was just shock, right?
No,
it
wasn't dismay. Mad. No, yeah. That's I had to explain that to when I first walked on the stage. Obviously I was just I said what I had to say. I didn't really mean it like that, but I was just shocked, And then when they were asking me afterwards, they're like, yeah, what about your reaction? And I was like, I'm extremely excited, this and that. And all the reporters are looking perplexed, what are you talking about? And then I watched the video of it. I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't know I did that. So it was a little different, I feel bad for it, but it was not my reaction.
Ryan also told me, so you get traded to the Bulls on draft day X years later.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan got married about a week after that.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we weren't sure Zach was coming at that point because we had just traded his ass. Yeah. And not only did you come, it took a couple flights and there was some travel mishap, but he has this photo he sent me on my phone.
Yeah.
You were the first person that he hugged after the wedding.
Yeah.
And it's a photo. So you were going no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I understand basketball, man. I understand business. You can't take it too personal. Cause it happens all the time. And, they made a decision that they thought was best for their future. I was going through my ACL rehab. Yeah, I have a little bit of I was mad. But then at the same time, I'm I get to go somewhere and I get to become who I think I am. So you got to take it, you got to take it the right way. But I was going regardless. That's a family friend. And it's, you can't miss those type of things.
Another, some team that interviewed you for the draft told me we were shocked. And for us, it was a good kind of shock.
Mm-hmm.
At how confident he was in his interview with us in Chicago at the pre-draft
conference. Oh, really?
And I said, what did he say? How did he come across confident? And he said he looked us in the eye and told us, second year in the league, I'm going to be an all-star.
Remember
saying that?
I've always been a confident person in my work. You can, if you have interviews with me, whenever I step on the floor, I think I'm the best player. I think I'm the fastest. I think I'm the most athletic. I don't care if I'm playing against people Michael Jordan played against in Space Jam. I think I'm that good, but that's just the mentality that I think I should have when you step on the court. I'm not trying to be cocky, but it's just the work that you put in. Mindset I think you should have.
This team liked it. They're like, we liked this.
I don't remember what I said. Now, obviously, was I all-star at my second year? No, I still haven't been all-star yet, but my mentality was letting them know, I think, that, hey, look, I'm a confident person. I think I can get to this point.
So I think if you asked – the kind of people who follow the league most closely.
Yeah.
What is separating Zach LaVine from being an all-star right now? I think the most common answer would be defense. And you've talked publicly a lot about how NBA defense has been a challenge for you.
Yeah.
So what's the hardest part about it, and how do you think – where are you now?
I feel a lot better right now. I think it's always been my downfall. And once you get someone saying something about you, it's hard to get rid of that narrative. So – I just have to almost shut it up. As good as I think I am offensively, there's no reason I can't be that good defensively. I feel like I have all the tools. I just have to put my mind to it. I've always been a really good on-ball defender. You know, I haven't been the best off-ball and team defender, and that's what the NBA is team defense. So it's more just locking in and realizing, you know, this is what you have to do, because anybody can play defense if you have the heart for it. You know, that's the it's a mentality.
Though? Is that true? Do you think that's true?
I definitely do. I definitely do. I think anybody can do it. It's just a mentality that you have to have to do it. You know, because everybody plays defense in spurts. If you look around the NBA, everybody does. But everybody's going to get scored on. But, you know, it's just a mentality you have. So I feel like even going into preseason, even now, I've just had a better mentality of trying to stay locked in on that end, not take any breaks, even if I am tired. You know, if I have to do a lot on offense, I still have to go over there and do it on defense too. So I'm trying to take that matchup serious. If I'm guarding their best two guard, I'm guarding their point guard, like, I got to take it serious, you know. So, you know, I've been locked into it a lot more.
Are a lot of your – when Jim says, you know, Zach and I watch film together, one-on-one, what percentage of that is offense and what percentage is defense?
Lately or all of them?
Lately,
not as many as been defense. And really? If it has been, it's just been some of my I'll be like real about it, like my effort plays. If I don't get a call at the basket and I talk to the ref, I got to sprint back on defense. Like, it's got to be on one track, man, because then that might affect, you know, I'm the last man in the rotation. If somebody in the corner is going to get a shot because I was over here chirping to the ref, or if I'm late on like a rotation or something like that, coming a little bit more forcefully, you know, something like that. But mostly it's probably been like 60-40 offense, defense. You know, I feel like I've made up some ground defensively.
Tell me what happened with the whole long twos analytics thing. Because I was traveling in LA and all of a sudden I'm like getting texts. So like, this LaVine and there's something going on with Boylan. Yeah, what happened?
We don't even have an analytics department. That's the thing. But it was an interview I was having. I was having a casual conversation and we were talking about like the mid-range game and how it's like not as prevalent. We weren't talking about me or the Bulls. I was talking about like, oh yeah, some of my favorite players have been mid-range players. Carmelo Anthony, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I was like, obviously the mid-range has been good for the NBA. Like, these are some of the best scorers in NBA history. You know what I mean?
And you need it no matter what. You need it in the playoffs.
I work on the mid-range. I think I'm a pretty good mid-range shooter. I think I can make those shots. Now, I don't go away from and just try to be like, I'm going to shoot nothing but mid-range because the NBA wants it, or there's more analytics now. No, like, if the system is now that, you know, we're going to shoot more threes and get to the hole and shoot free throws, but, you know, I still have the ability to shoot mid-range when I want to. The Bulls have to trust in me to do that. It wasn't anything about Zach versus the Bulls. I think it just got misconstrued.
Back to defense. You mentioned off-ball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've hit you for that before in columns. That's noticeable at times when it goes wrong. So my question is, how do you get better at that? Because it's not like when you talk about effort and heart, like, yeah, when you're guarding some wing who's going right at you, like,
you can man up and play him, yeah.
But off ball stuff is like, you know, you got a corner shooter and a wing shooter and you got to split the difference and you got to know to rotate here versus rotate there when the ball goes there. How do you get better at that? That seems like it's more than just, I got to try harder.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has been with me, too, has been trust. I have to trust our defensive plan. I have to trust my teammates. And they have to trust me to be there, you know, because you're going to get beat in the NBA. You're going to get scored on. So a lot of it has been watching film. A lot has been trust, like me getting to those spots and making sure I'm there early to, hey, and talking and communicating. And just going over. I did a lot of shell drill, you know, this year earlier in preseason and training camp and stuff like that, to where it just helped me lock into it a little bit more, going like almost back to the base. I'm in my sixth year now. Like, do I really need shell defense when I'm, you know, it's summer league time? Realistically, yeah, I do, because it's going to help me. So I went a little bit more back to the basics on it and just try to, if it's something in your head that you lock into, I think I can do it.
Do you sometimes wake up at 3 a.m. because Tom Thibodeau's voice has invaded your dream space and you like get startled?
Yeah, no. What's crazy? So we don't. Tibbs used to ice a lot of things. Defense is called ice blue. So when I first got to Chicago, we didn't do that anymore, and that was like, it was just ingrained in me because, you know, with Tibbs, it's drill sergeant. You're doing it every
you
day.
You hear it on TV.
You ice, you know, his voice. Yes. So I was literally jumping into an ice stance on everything on the outer half of the place, and they were just getting mad, like, you can't do this anymore. It's not, I'm like, all right, my bad. So, no, Tibbs doesn't give me nightmares, but, you know, I still hear his voice sometimes.
You've played for some characters among NBA coaches.
I've had a lot of coaches so far. Yeah. Flips.
For some characters.
Flips and Mitchell. Tibbs.
Fred.
Fred and Jim. Yeah.
Was Tibbs hard to play for?
I wouldn't say it was hard to play for. He was just really demanding. You know, you had to, everything was mapped out from when you woke up and got to the gym to when you ended. It was, the full day was mapped out and it was on point. You know, there's sometimes where like, where some teams, like, you know, you might flow through practice and you might switch things up. Like, nah, his was like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z.
Are you still close with Wiggins?
Yeah. I just saw him this last summer. Yeah. Him and his girlfriend. He has a little daughter. Yeah, we're close.
The other day you guys played Charlotte. Mm-hmm. The opening game in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You had a breakaway.
Yeah.
You did not dunk.
Yeah, man.
The crowd was audibly disappointed.
Booing me. Isn't that crazy?
So you hear this as you hear the anticipation, and then you hear the letdown.
The thing is, I was trying to dunk it and I slipped a little bit, so I had to lay it in. Obviously,
it did look funny now that you're saying it.
I slipped. I had to lay it in. And, you know, my shoe like kind of fell off. But yeah, I heard the boos, and it's crazy because I'm an opposing team. Shouldn't they be booing me because I made the layup? But it's, you know, it makes sense. I mean, if I wouldn't have slipped, yeah, I would have gave him a good dunk.
Do you feel pressure when you get a breakaway? Like, I'm Zach LaVine. I have written, I think you are the best dunker since prime Vince Carter.
You think so?
Yes.
Realistically, sometimes on a fast break, like, I don't know what to do. So I'll just, like, randomly do it when I jump. Because, like, eventually they're going to get tired of me just jumping up and cocking it back. So a couple of times I'll do a windmill at 360. But, yeah, I'm like, damn, do I do a nice dunk today, or do I just give them something real easy and get back on defense?
That is maybe the most unrelatable to me thing someone has ever said. Have you ever tried something adventurous in an NBA game and missed? Like, on a breakaway specifically, where it should be 100% make?
I'm trying to think. I had to have done it when I was doing the dunk contest and stuff like that when I was younger. I think in Minnesota, my rookie year, I tried to, like, do, like, a reverse or a windmill, like, off of alley-oop, though. Like, Ricky threw me an alley-oop pass, and I caught it. I tried to, like, double clutch and throw it in backwards, and I missed when I could have just dunked it. But I think that's the only time I got, like, a little bit too ahead of myself.
That's when I can feel the old-school coach vibes running through my body.
Oh, he subbed me out so fast. It was really? Flip. Oh, he subbed me out so fast. Yeah, so fast.
I mean, if you try it and you miss it, it's bad. Would you ever do the dunk contest again?
It's in Chicago this year. I don't know.
You've never been defeated in an NBA. You're 2-for-2, right?
2-for-2. Yeah,
I've got to do it again. Come on,
everybody wants me. If my leg, the thing is, man, like,
I know you don't want to be the dunk contest guy.
It's a narrative, but not even just that. Like, I'm fine with people saying it because it's just casual fans, and that's a lot of our NBA is. Like I said, I understand the business of it, but I was 19 and 20 when I won, and I weighed like 185. I have an ACL reconstruction surgery now, where I've done a great job coming back from it, but I weigh like 25 pounds more, you know. So it's a lot of stuff that goes into it, you know. I'm playing like 33 minutes a game now, so I gotta see how my legs are. I don't want to, like, a home run derby, waste all my swings in the second half of the season, bat like 205. Like, you know what I mean?
All I'm asking is don't rule it out.
I won't rule it out.
It's going to be really cold in Chicago.
It's a game time decision.
Give us something to look forward to. We're in a rough stretch of All-Star right now. Give us something to look for. Toronto, the one in Toronto with you and Aaron, number one.
Yeah, that was great.
That whole night was an all-time All-Star Saturday.
I'm not gonna lie, I would probably be a lot more willing to do it if we didn't go into that overtime. Like, I left like four dunks out there that I didn't have to do because we like went into overtime. Yeah, that was one of the best ever. I mean, I'm glad we did it though.
I mean, you guys didn't miss.
No,
normally they're like, guys are missing four times. You guys was just boom, boom, boom. And my wife was with me. We made a little date night.
It was the best of the best. Yeah,
and I turned to her. I was like, it's not normally like this. This is way better than it normally is.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What are your favorite memories? When you think back to that night, what are your favorite memories of it?
Just how it turned into just going from a like a fan thing to where, you know, you go up and dunk and get it to where it was a competitive thing between me. Because me and Aaron are cool. We're friends. We know each other since pre-draft, same agency. We were looking at each other in the face like, okay, what do you got next? What do I got next? It became almost like a real competitive thing, and you could see how much, you know, each one of us wanted to win, how much we put into, like, trying to win. So no one was, like, just going to give in. So it was kind of cool.
I have no memory of who else was in that dunk contest. No idea.
Damn, who was in that dunk contest?
The answer is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one in this room is going to know the answer to that. Let's just move on. No one knows. It's better that way.
I think, forget it. Yeah, sorry.
Should we have the Sonics again? You're from Seattle. Do we need to get 100%, the Sonics back?
100%. Like, it's crazy that the Seattle Sonics, Super Sonics don't have a team. Seattle needs basketball. And, you know, I think we got to give a pat on the back to Jamal Crawford on how he's, like, held down the city with the pro-am and stuff like that, bringing pros into play in the summertime, because that's the only time they really get to see him now. And it's done really good, but I think Seattle does need a pro team. It's been a long time.
Would you refuse to sign with the Oklahoma City Thunder out of principle, even if they offered you the most
money? No, I couldn't do all that now, but it is crazy how we traded Vancouver and Seattle for Memphis and OKC, though.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going by cities. You know, it's just crazy.
I didn't say anything. I have a very important question for you. I could not have you on this podcast without asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently on the Bulls Leadership Council, and what does it do?
yes, I am. Jim put it together. It's just like the leaders of the team, and how could I say this? We talk amongst ourselves and then talk with him and relay it to the team.
About?
Whatever he wants to talk about. You know, if it's a big meeting before the game, or if it's, you know, how the team's feeling right now about practice, or if we need to save our legs in practice, stuff like that.
Who's on the leadership council?
Me, Bad, Otto, and Lowry.
Four-person leadership council.
Yeah.
Do you have term limits? Like, can you get off of it after this season?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think it's like – I don't know.
How often do you meet?
We haven't really done it. We did it a lot last year.
Disappointing. I really want it to be an official thing. Like, the 10th of every month.
Every month we have
you
like
are
a
summoned
yeah.
to a potluck dinner with the rest of the leadership.
We have to wear a certain outfit each
time. Like a powdered wigs. I want powdered wigs and gavels.
It ain't nothing like that, man. No, it's just, you know, pretty much like the captains of the team.
People, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job proactively, so you get quality candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of every 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within one day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes? Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, LOWEPOST, the name of this podcast. ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. You guys, I've actually been pretty surprised. We should probably talk about the 2019-20 Bulls a little bit. I've actually been a little surprised how openly even Jim has mentioned the playoffs as a goal. A lot of times you'll see young team with some buzz. They'll try and be like, yeah, you know, to one step at a time. But like the P word has been spoken.
Yeah.
You're 1-2 as we're taping this. How realistic, like, did you have a win total in mind? Do you share that goal? Like, yeah, playoffs, we got the talent to do it right now.
I think that it came because you have to set goals. And I'm not somebody that's going to shy away from, like, I set goals for myself, but you can't shy away from them. If you don't believe in them, I don't think that they'll be achieved. So why not say we can't be a playoff team? If we don't believe it ourselves, nobody else will. I don't think we'll become it. So, yeah, I think we can make the playoffs. Obviously, I think we go into every game thinking we can win. I don't think we're going to go – obviously, we're not going to go 82-0, but, you know, yeah, I think we can make the playoffs.
I think it's – I picked you to make the playoffs. Yeah, Did I feel super confident in it? No. But, I mean, I think it's doable.
Yeah.
In the West, I think it'd be a different story, but in the East, it's doable.
Yeah, no, for sure. We got to go out there and do what we have to do, man. It's a goal, and it's something we have to go down there and chase.
What do you think of the Lowry-Wendell front line? Like, mm-hmm. What do you – it's just almost as a teammate and almost as a fan, when you watch them play,
yeah.
What do you envision for them, like, by the end of the season they're going to look like this? Or, like, what's the peak version of that group look like?
I mean, Lowry's just a hybrid, man. It's the stuff he does sometimes, like, in the game. You know, I've done a lot of really cool things, and I know this. Lowry sometimes, like, takes me back on, like, he's a 7-footer that plays like a guard. You know, he'll go to the left and do, like, a 1-foot fadeaway. And it's like, damn, it'll be hard for me to do that. Like, he does things that is just, for 7-foot people, they don't do. Wendell, at his age, is probably, like, one of the most advanced, like, big man, like, defensively I've ever seen. Like, he makes up mistakes, you know, for us. He erases them. So I think our front court is huge, man. It's going to help us a lot.
I think those two guys pair really well together.
Yeah.
And the only obstacle is youth. But we'll see. Who's the best athlete on the team other than you? I think I know who it is, but who do you think it is?
The best
pure athlete. Like, you guys are doing American Gladiators.
Oh, you won't guess it right. I know you won't. You say your answer first.
Shaquille Harrison.
Oh, we got it right. All right, cool. Yep, you already knew it. Yeah, Shaq Harrison.
He's a monster athlete.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, yeah.
Jim Boylan told me today in the lobby,
mm-hmm.
he reached 18 miles an hour sprinting, mm-hmm. either today or yesterday. And apparently, I don't know how fast that is. Apparently, that's really, really – I mean, I know how fast that is. I just don't know how fast, like, human beings are meant to run.
Me and him race, like, every other day, and we see who wins. It's crazy.
What do you – like, back and forth?
Like, when we do our sprints, like, you know – some people just jog or, like, little sprints down and back. Like, me and Shaq, like, have a competitive thing where, like, we dead-ass run and see who wins that day. It's crazy, yeah.
If he can ever get that jumper working.
He's a freak athlete. He could make it in football, baseball. His brother's a professional baseball player.
Yeah. Well, what he can do defensively, man, he is annoying.
Yeah, he's a hawk. Yeah.
Last thing, and I'll let you go meet with Jim Boylan, because you have a film session with Jim Boylan.
Got a little
bit
of a film session, man.
What's more fun, this or a film session with Jim Boylan?
Oh, this for sure.
Is he standing and moving during the film session?
He's animated. I'll say that. He's animated.
Because when he talks to me about basketball, sometimes he stands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jim,
calm down.
Just
it's
chill,
okay.
Man. I'm just trying to drink my
it's
coffee.
It's how he is. He gets into it, man.
He's
like
crouching.
It,
I'm like, my God.
Yeah, he likes
this,
it.
Just like, turn it off, man.
No, off switch for him, man. We need it.
You played how many seasons with KG? Just one?
One and a half.
Okay, one
he
and a half.
Got traded halfway through my rookie year, yeah.
Best
teammate ever.
Open-ended.
Yeah, best teammate ever.
Best Kevin Garnett story that you have?
Wow.
Could be anything.
I can give you a good one and a one that's funny.
Give them both.
That's what I'm trying to think of. I got to take out the explicit words in a couple of them.
Well, then it's like,
to, you know.
Yeah.
I gotta try to.
Yeah, KG's not radio friendly.
Yeah, I got PG-13 it down. So we are in. I'll give you one. So we're in New Orleans, and the rookies on the team are me, Andrew Wiggins, and Glenn Robinson III, before we got traded. We're going through shoot around this and that, and this is when, you know, we have vets on the team like Kevin Martin. We had Mo Williams. We had
Pekovic.
Thad was on the team. I think Thad was in his, like, his seventh year, something like that, seventh or eighth year. So after practice, he gets mad. Like, man, the rookies ain't done nothing yet. The rookies haven't done anything. They a good bunch of rookies, but I haven't seen them do a lot. You know, back in my day, we used to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He's going off. He's talking. So him and Sam Mitchell are talking to him. He's, Sam used to make me do all types of this and that. So he grabs the balls, and he says, you know what? You guys got to collect the balls today. So he rolls one. He just grabs one and rolls it down to the floor. So we all looking at each other like, okay. And then he grabs another one, he punts it into the stands. So then Kmart grabs one, punts one into the stands. So that was our rookie, like, hazing for that day, just cause they got bored. So we had to go gather up all the balls.
That's pretty good.
It wasn't bad, but
one of the best teammates ever, you're saying?
One of the best teammates ever though. But that was a funny story. The best, like a good KG story to where, like, he's like, what was he, 40, 41?
when he was playing with you guys, he was old. Whatever it was,
41.
Old.
So I came in. So I got, like I said, I work my butt off. You know, so I get to the gym at like practice at like 11. I'm there at like 8:30. And you know, I'm walking. I'm thinking I'm ready to go. My rookie, I'm driving a. I got a car like a dealership, like promo. I have a Lexus. I'm thinking I'm great. You know, nice little red Lexus. Pull into the facility and there's all black Phantom just sitting there. So I'm like, wow, like this is crazy. Like whose Phantom is this? I've only met KG like once or twice at this point. Go upstairs. Kevin Garnett is in a full sweat when I tell you doing sprints up and down the floor. I'm 19. I'm going there early to get my shots up. Talking to himself. Yeah, KG. We're ready to go, KG. We're back home. Let's do it. Let's do it. And he's running up and down the floor. And I'm just sitting here like, wow, like this is, what's up, young fella? You good? You coming to get some work in? You still can't beat me to the gym? I'm like, damn, like this dude's a Hall of Famer. He's 40. Wow. It was crazy. And then practice. And then did full practice. You could hear his voice from the, like, when we played and we were on the opposite end, you could hear his voice, blue, ice. He was probably the biggest help on defense you could ever have.
Flip once told me a story about, I think it was in Vegas, everyone was practicing together, and Pekovic was either out of shape or being lazy,
mm-hmm.
and KG just like...
And Peck was the biggest dude in the NBA at that
time.
Dude,
Peck was scary.
Yeah.
Peck was legit scary, and KG just went at him.
I came to the locker room one time, and Peck was boxing. Like, just in a full sweat, boxing a punching bag. And it was like, God. Yeah.
I ate at a restaurant next to Peck once in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It was me and Damian Rudej. And Peck was
Rudej,
at the next,
I remember Rudej, yeah.
Me and Peck was at the next table. I have never seen a human being order more food at a restaurant.
Really?
I mean, just like food just kept appearing at the table.
That dude right there, man.
And he was like a rock. He wasn't like fat. He was just a rock of muscle.
That's the reason I don't wear food. Coming out of college, I was number 14. I wanted to have that in the NBA, and he had it. I didn't even feel like asking. So that's the reason why I'm 8.
Is that true?
Realistically, yeah.
You just didn't want to ask him for the
number? Didn't want to ask him. Like, when I got traded here, like, Robin Lopez at 8, so I asked him for it. You know, he's a big guy, you know, but he's real friendly. Like, I wasn't even going to ask Pekovic for the number. I was terrified of him.
I think that's a good call. Yeah. All right, you've got to go meet with Jim Boylan. Speaking of terrifying prospects,
Zach Levine. I appreciate you having me here, man.
Good luck this season.
Thank you.
I think you guys have a chance to be good. I think you have a chance to be an all-star.
Thank you.
Want to see all that happen. Thank you for taking a little time out.
No, thank you, guys.
Have some fun in New York and go get a W tomorrow.
I'll go get some Peter Luger's tonight.
There you go.
Steak. Yeah.
That's a good place to go.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Bad. Take it easy. Take it easy.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.